The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is to not become a saint. Leon Bloy. If someone had told me I would be Pope one day, I would have studied harder. Pope John Paul I. Welcome to the Everyday Saints Podcast, where we learn about the saints as we strive to become saints. I'm Paul, and in today's episode, we're going to be looking again at St. John Paul II, who we looked at a little bit last week. Today, we're specifically going to look at his role in the fall of communism in Eastern Europe. Whatever your religious or political persuasion, there's no question that John Paul II was one of the most influential figures of the 20th century. But was he, as many are taught, and even more believe, the reason for the collapse of communism in Eastern Europe? The answer, like the times, isn't a simple one. As Bishop of Krakow, he was certainly not as directly involved in politics as his counterpart in Warsaw had been, both during the Nazi occupation and the subsequent communist regime. He stressed love, bridge building, and humanism as the antidote to both fascism and communism, rather than protests and running street battles. There were many activist priests in Poland, even after he assumed the papacy, but he was never truly one of them. Furthermore, while his election in the fall of 1978 as the first non-Italian pope in 450 years sent shockwaves all the way to the Kremlin, there was no reason to believe those shockwaves would last or be anything more than symbolic. The Vatican Curia ran things, and appeasement was their policy. John Paul II never called for the overthrow of communism, but rather for all governments to respect basic human rights, hardly a revolutionary position then or now. He did not, and could not, start an economy-crushing arms race with the Soviets as Reagan did, nor bring in reforms that ultimately grew beyond his control as Gorbachev did. Events often ran well ahead of where he would have preferred. So it really can't be argued that he set out to bring about the fall of the Soviet Union or communism in Eastern Europe. What he did do was use both the moral power of the Vatican and his own Polishness in grand and symbolic ways. Ways that had an impact and influence he could hardly have imagined. Symbols matter, and in this case, as much as tanks and ballistic missiles. What perhaps only the KGB realized when Wojtyła became Pope John Paul II was that Poland's Catholic identity was, and always would be, far stronger than its communist one. Communism had been imposed 40 years earlier. Catholicism had been there for 1,000 years. It had sustained them through continual occupation by foreign powers, and when one of their own became its leader, something in the Polish psyche changed. This became evident on his first return to Poland as Pope, where millions, to the shock of the communist authorities, turned out to see him. Most historians point out the people chanting, "We want God," at the masses that he said there, but few remember an even more radical occurrence. Banners with the Communist Party slogan, "The Party is for the People," had a provocative phrase added, "But the people are for the Pope." His visit to Poland in 1979 inspired an unemployed electrician to form the first and only trade union in the Soviet bloc. Solidarity was born, not just as a union, but as a movement, and Lech Walesa, who would later become president of a free Poland, credits John Paul II with its birth. The Pope intervened with Soviet Premier Leonid Brezhnev to prevent action against Solidarity at one point, and though ultimately a crackdown did come, it was too little, too late. We focus a lot on the fall of the Berlin Wall. Again, symbolism. But Poland was the keystone to the Warsaw Pact, and its revolt all but ensured the collapse of the entire Bloc, and eventually the Soviet Union itself. There are many reasons for the collapse of communism, and certainly no one man can claim credit. John Paul II certainly never would. But he became the face of something all oppressed peoples need in order to throw off their oppressors. Hope. It could be said that the 120 cardinals who elected him started it all, or even that God himself had ordained it. Interestingly, this last is a view that John Paul II himself did not hold to. When asked if God had brought about the fall of communism, he said this: "It would be simplistic to say that divine providence caused the fall of communism. In a certain sense, communism as a system fell by itself. It fell as a consequence of its own mistakes and abuses. It proved to be a medicine more dangerous than the disease itself. It did not bring about true social reform, yet it did become a powerful threat and challenge to the entire world. But it fell by itself because of its own inherent weaknesses." So, as we can see from that quote, John Paul certainly did not believe he was the cause of the fall of communism. But he was also a very humble man, and I think he didn't give himself enough credit for the part that he did play in inspiring the downfall of communism in Eastern Europe. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Everyday Saints, and that you're finding our look at the lives of the saints both informative and enlightening. If you'd like to help us continue making podcasts like this, please consider supporting us for as little as 99 cents a month by clicking on the Support This Podcast link in the show notes. It'll go a long way towards us being able to make this podcast completely ad-free. Thanks again.